You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives to a movie right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party gonna have. Out in the St. John's walls, Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and hi to everyone. Say, Tom could not make it tonight. He had a short emergency that came up and just couldn't make it on the show. So Alex Hearn and myself will host the show tonight. We have some really good guests on tonight. And first of all, what I'd like to try to do here is kind of give a little shout-out to some of our friends and family. Quite a few of our friends out there are having some hard times. And tonight, today especially, my goodness, I can't believe everything that went wrong. Leroy Blevins was supposed to be on tonight. He will not be on. He called me just an hour ago or so. And his house, the river is flooding up by his house. He had to move his family and everything out of there and get to higher ground. So let's kind of give a little prayer out there to Leroy and that his house and his family are safe, sound, And he'll be on next week once everything goes through. Another thing that happened today is Donna Schultz, that's Bruce Schultz's wife, her cousin passed away the other day. And, in fact, they're attending a wake this evening for her. And then Bruce will be on a little while here with us. Of course, Alex is recovering from his operation still. He's got a whole bunch of stuff he's going through today. Tomorrow he's probably going to be like a zombie. He's taking all this medication and things. And, of course, our good friend Mitch, his mother is still doing good, but she's having problems. And so for all those people and some of the other people here that I probably haven't, we don't know about, let's just send a good Bigfoot prayer to our family and friends out there and wish everybody well and wish everybody safe and wish everybody economic recovery in some way, too. Anyway, Alex, can you tell us who's in the chat room?
I can, Marco, I can. You know, I asked people not to IM me while I'm in the chat room because I'm trying to see what everybody's saying. So I'm not trying to be mean, guys. I'm just trying to, you know, be able to do this shout-out that we try to do and see what's going on in the chat room. So let's get into it. Someone's not listening. We got the secret Steve there. We got Chief. That's Mitch. We got Connie in the house. We got Davo. We got Jan Allen, of course. And we got good old Lee Joyner from Texas. Lee, I was thinking of you just yesterday and the day before. I was went off fishing. I was wearing my Searching for Bigfoot hat, and of course I got my memento on there that you gave me, so every time I see that I think of you, buddy. Thank you very much. Steve, please stop. We got Mike K in Ohio, we got Mount Monadnock, and we got Rosebud in the house, and then we got a bunch of guests. So we're going to have a great show tonight. We got some great guests on the show, and we got Marco rocking the house. So Marco, what's up next?
Well, everybody, I think everybody can remember Don Sherman and Bob Olson from Minnesota a couple of years back. We did some expeditions out there. Don and both Don and Bob were integral in both some footprints and some. We had some encounters in and around the area there. They've been investigating for quite some time now. Don's going to come on tonight. Don, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, Don's going to catch us up with what's been going on in Minnesota. How are you doing, Don?
I'm doing pretty good, Marco Bill. It's an honor to be back on your show again.
It was an honor to have you on here, Don.
And
why don't you go ahead and give us a little rundown on what's going on?
Okay, well, it's been a little bit quiet in our neighborhood over here, but we've had some pretty good stories. And one of the stories we had here over in Deerwood, Minnesota, Deerwood, Crosby area, lady called me up and said that it was about deer season last fall. She said about 11:30 at night, her and her son were driving north 5 miles. It's just north of, south of Deerwood, Minnesota, and they're heading north. And out of the ditch comes this, she thought it was a person walked coming out of the ditch and was wearing a Carhartt suit. But the closer she got, realized it wasn't a guy in a Carhartt suit. It was a thing running on two legs, and she said, described it. It had really long arms, and the closer she got, realized it was hair and not a Carhartt suit. And it was running down the middle of the lane, or right down the middle of the highway. Then it got into her lane, and she actually had to swerve off the side of the road to the right to avoid hitting this Bigfoot. And right close to her fender, she almost hit it. And she said she never seen anything run so fast in her life, and it, what she kept describing was it had really long arms, she kept repeating. It had really long arms. And there was another car following behind her, and this thing was so fast it went between her and the car behind her. And then it stood off the side of the road a little bit. The other car obviously seen it too. But she didn't know who that was or whoever, you know, they didn't stop or nothing. But, yeah, she described how fast it was. Pretty amazing story.
Wow. That, and so that coincides kind of like with some of the other we've heard on other instances where people have seen this thing move pretty fast. Long stride,
yeah.
Very fast, two-step
yeah.
across a road. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast they can move.
It's amazing. Have you had any other things?
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting story. I was having dinner with my son and his family, and this is last year, and this little Indian lady walks up to me. She says, "Aren't you the guy that's on Monster Quest?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I got a story to tell you." She said, there was this family in Cass Lake, Minnesota, and that's 30 miles west of me. She was a single mother. She had a little 3-year-old son. And she was feeding him lunch one day, making him a sandwich. So he was eating a sandwich, and he grabbed half of his sandwich and opened up the screen door to their trailer house and threw out some half the sandwich. And her mother hollered at her kid and said, "Quit feeding the dogs." And she said, "I'm not, Mom. I'm feeding Scary Man." But her mom thought it was kind of, she thought her kid had an overreactive imagination. And so next day, and she made him another sandwich, soup and sandwiches. And so he grabbed part of the sandwich and threw it out the screen door again. And mother hollered at her kid and said, "I told you to quit feeding the dogs." She said, "I'm not, Mom. I'm feeding Scary Man." Well, it was a few days after that. Her mom saw something walk by her window about 10 o'clock at night, kind of a shadow in front of her trailer house, kitchen window. So she thought it was one of the neighbors. So next morning she was outside and she looked at her kitchen window and says, "Oh my God," she said, "whoever walked by the kitchen window had been about 8 or 10 feet tall." So then it was about a few days after that, your kids come running inside. He says, Mom, he said, "Come look at the monkey." So, you know, Mom again thought, you know, this kid has overreactive imagination. So anyway, this kid kept pulling out her mom's arm. She said, "Mom, come look at the monkey. Come look at the monkey." So she runs outside, and it was just a little bit before dark, and kid points at the woods, the edge of the woods in her backyard, and the kid says, "See, look at the monkey. Here was a small one. Poking his head out behind a tree and then hide and then stick his head out and then hide again. They watch it though, it got dark," she said.
Wow.
And then the next day, a few days later, she saw the family. It was a male, female, and that little juvenile again standing on the edge of their yard. They watched it till it got dark. They must watch it for 5 or 10 minutes. Then it says, "Wow, that's a pretty interesting story."
John, and Alex. Turn here. I got a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy? How you doing? Didn't mean to sit here, but I was listening to your stories. They're really, really cool. Very interesting. In this last sighting you're talking about, and in the first sighting where the creature ran between the cars, did you get back to the area to check any footprints or maybe do some comparisons where they saw it, you know, maybe a picture of a human in the same place to see how tall you compare to the, you know, because when you're looking at stuff in the sense of the moment like that, everything's a little abstract. So if you go back, you can get a really good point of view and kind of organize your own thoughts. Did you happen to do that? And what did the creatures look like? Was their fur long? Was it shaggy? Was it short? Was it groomed? And what color was the fur? And were they heavy built? Were they thin built? There's no right answer because we've had reports of all different kinds, so we're kind of curious what these creatures look like.
Okay, she got a good description of it. This, like, she said it was like a person wearing a car. It was a color. It was a light. It was brownish color, light brown, tannish brown,
And it had longer hair, not like the California Bigfoot, where that's got short hair. This had longer hair, longer on the ankles, longer on the elbows and stuff like that. And she got the good look at the face as she drove by it, and it had the face like a human. It had a face like a human. It didn't have no hair around the face or anything like that. And I could also point out that Bigfoots here, I mean, they don't have fur. They have hair like you and I do. That's a big difference. Yeah, she said they had a face, eyes, nose, ears, just like a human.
They don't have, and we'll talk to Mitch about this because he's become kind of an expert on the subject, but they don't have an epidural layer, I believe. But yeah, it's not similar to animals either. So, go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt you, buddy.
Yeah, and, well, that was one of the good things she said, you know, it had long flowing hair. And, she didn't describe the teeth, and like there was mouth open or nothing like that.
Now, was this location a long way from you, or are you capable of getting out there looking for some trash?
I went and looked at the area, and she took me to the spot, exact spot where it came out of the woods. And it was all nothing but grass. There was no soft sand or nothing, so... You know, I couldn't see no tracks. I walked around, couldn't find any footprints or anything like that. And besides, there was a lot of other tracks there. Besides, just it was kind of like a game trail. But I did have another guy, you know, from Deer River, Minnesota, that almost hit one. I mean, it was right in front of his bumper. He got a perfect look at the face and everything. Face is like human, eyes, nose, ears, mouth. And one thing he described was the hair on the elbows and around ankles were long. So it looked like it was actually wearing a pants. And then it described the face as it was walking by him right in front of his car, looking right at him in the windshield, and his mouth was open and had teeth like a human, except they were a little larger. And the face was pockmarked, waxy, greasy looking. And that was a pretty good description of it. And he said, also he said, no, he had hair like hair and not fur. How he described it. That's
so
how close the guy was.
The same relative description as you recently got from the car ordeal.
Yeah. And also had another lady that I talked to who's seen one during deer season. There was snow on the ground. She could actually smell it as she was driving along. She could smell something awful. And all of a sudden this deer ran in front of her car. And she saw this. She thought it was a hunter chasing this deer, and his hunter had really long hair. Of course, she got realized it wasn't a hunter. It was one of those Bigfoot, she said, chasing this deer, and it was right on its tail. And it had long, flowing hair.
Wow, that's cool. But what I saw, Don, also had pretty long hair. So your description fits exactly what I saw, but also... You know, and you probably know this, sounds like you've been doing it a long time. There's really no correct description because different people see different things in different areas,
yeah.
Different locations. And some people even interpret what they're seeing a little differently in the heat of the moment. So, but that's really, really cool. So what are your plans for these locations in the future? You're going to put up any game cams? You're going to be able to check them again? Anything like that?
I've had game trail cameras up the last deer season. I didn't see nothing. But we're going to be going out in 2 weeks before the leaves come out, and we're going to get a bunch of people together. We'll have trail cameras. We'll have infrared cameras, thermal cameras, stuff like that. and just get a bunch of people together who are interested in Bigfoot and just have a great time, and hopefully we'll get lucky and hear or see something. There's, in Baldwin, Minnesota, there's actually been a lot of sightings, so it's kind of a hot spot.
Well, the forest is very thick up there, and what is Minnesota known for? What, the land of 1,000 lakes?
10,000 lakes.
10,000 lakes, yeah.
Plenty of water up there, and we're not talking little fish ponds.
Plenty of water, yeah, and a lot of huge swamps.
Right, right.
Blueberry country.
Great what, cranberry growing up there? I mean, you guys have a huge cranberry crop, so that tells you right there a lot of lowlands and wetlands.
Blueberry,
yeah.
out in the wild swamps out there, mostly blueberries. Blackberries, raspberries, boysenberries.
Yeah. Lots of berries.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at one time, and you know, the only berry that counts is the cranberry, Marco. I'm from Massachusetts. At one time, Little Massachusetts was the number one producer of cranberries in the country. But then slowly but surely, Minnesota and I believe Michigan overtook them. That's why I mentioned that. And it sticks in my head, you know, a moment of glory gone by.
Well, we don't count cranberries. We count wild rice.
Yeah, there you go.
Have you had any other reports as well? It's been a couple of years since you've been on, so about a year and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually been pretty slow. We've had reports of people hearing screamings and howlings and stuff in the area around here, and a lot of howlings over in Pennington, and they have found tracks over in Pennington, Minnesota. In fact, during the winter, last fall, when the snow, this guy called me up, and I talked to him, actually I talked to him about a week ago, and he kind of told me, yeah, there was a lot of the howling and screaming going on in the area where he found these Bigfoot tracks. But by the time they got the story to me, you know, I wanted to go cast them, but it was several months already gone by.
Well, have you found any, like, tree twists? Or, you know, those kinds of things like nesting and tree twists and other signs.
In fact, just west of Ball Club here, there was a local hunter, him and another guy were parked just west of the Mississippi a couple miles, and they're parked on a pipeline. And they found some Bigfoot tracks on some anthills. So they were kind of looking at them, and then they were in their car, and it was getting towards dark. And they could hear something walking around their car, and they heard brush cracking in the woods. I mean, loud, they said. But they got scared, and they drove out of there. Well, they come back the next day where they were parked, and the popple trees around the car were completely twisted right off. And we're talking maybe a dozen or so trees were completely twisted right off.
Wow. Pretty wild. Hey, Marco, I got a question from the chat room coming from Chief in the chat room.
Go ahead.
He wants to know, the Bigfoot chasing the deer, and you may or may not got this from the description, was it when it was chasing the deer, was it on all fours or was it on, you know, running on two legs? Because we've heard in the past that they can move much quicker on all fours.
It was running on two legs, she described it as running on two legs. And it was hunched over as it was running.
Well, that's kind of what it does when it's about to, you know, knuckle walk or knuckle run. So it may have been in the process of either coming from being on all fours or maybe going down to all fours to catch the deer. Who knows, maybe it even got startled from her and hunched back up on all, you know, two legs.
Yeah, what she described, she thought it was a man running. She didn't describe it as a gorilla looking or anything like that. She thought it was a man running across the road chasing his deer.
So
that was
just bent down maybe to try to run fast like you and I would.
Yeah. Well, I had another guy tell me he was out. He was on the Boy River bridge, and there was a huge meadow along the river, and he saw this black thing move. And first, and he told his son, he said, "Look at that! What is that out there?" And first, he thought it was a moose, but all of a sudden, this thing took off across the meadow, and he said, "No man can run like that." But it was running on two legs, and it was taking huge strides, and. And he described as running any faster than any human could ever run. And, but it was, he said it was running upright. That
really
was another
cool.
Amazing story.
Yes, really cool. And, Marco, do we have more time? Can I keep asking?
Well, yeah, Bruce has not, Bruce is probably held up at the wake. So they haven't come on yet, so we got plenty of time.
Excellent. Any more questions from the chat room? Someone in the chat room wanted to call in earlier. Any questions anybody want to call in or ask a question in the chat room? Don, what were you on Monster Quest for? What specific report was that on about, or what area, or, you know, what? Tell us about the show, and maybe some of our listeners can catch it in a replay.
Okay. We investigated a Bigfoot encounter over in Staples, Minnesota a couple years ago. And this young lady, 16-year-old young lady, was just pulling out of her boyfriend's house, and she didn't get more than 20 yards down the road. And right at the edge of the yard of that house, she hit something. First, she thought it was a bear, and she hit it. But it stood up on two legs, and it kind of rolled off the side of her van. So she got scared, and she knew it wasn't a bear. So she backs all the way up, pulls back in her boyfriend's yard, and she told him described what happened. So the kids ran in and got a couple of rifles with 30-30 and a shotgun, and they saw this Bigfoot standing for what they thought it was a creature, they described, standing on the edge of their yard. Was kind of walking towards them, so they both shot it. And when the first one shot, it kind of buckled or threw its shoulder back a little bit. Then a second kid shot, it kind of buckled a little bit. Then it turned and ran into the woods. And so they called, they got scared and they ran into the house. Then they could hear something walking on the roof. So they come back outside again. They could saw this thing, creature standing on top of their roof. And the strange part about it was that they described it, it had the head of a wolf. And then it turned and it grabbed a birch branch and it swung itself off the roof and it hit the ground and they could hear it thumping as running away as it ran into the backyard of the woods.
Yeah,
they were scared. They were scared, so they called the police. And then the police must have called the DNR. They both came out. And so she just showed the police, you know, that there was actually a huge handprint on that hood of the van, human handprint. So the police goes over and rubs it off, wipes it off. And, you know, the kids got mad. He says, "What in the world did you do that for?" Of course, they use, like, you know, the H word. So then they went over to the word. They asked him where it happened, that where she hit it. So they walk with her, and they see all these huge human-like prints. The DNR goes over there and kicks it up with its feet and messes it all up. Kids said the same thing. What in the heck did you do that for? You know, they were ticked off because they were messing, they're destroying evidence. So then they, you know, finally they went back to their house, and they were messing around a little bit in that area where she hit it. And one of the kids described it as they could hear like a air rifle or in a flash or something go off. And so after a while they thought maybe it was like a tranquilizer gun or something. And anyhow, so we got wind of it. So we went on and investigated the area. And we walked We walked all over the place. We looked around to see if we could see any drag marks in case it did tranquilize it. And we walked. The mosquitoes are so bad. We walked to, you know, the old woods behind there and couldn't find nothing. And so we decided maybe we ought to come back with dogs later, but we never did get a chance. But anyway, Monster Quest got wind of that story through the newspaper, so they wanted to do a reenactment of that. So that's how we got on that show. And it's actually called Monster Close Encounters.
I remember that episode well. It was a good episode. And, you know, it's available to people on Netflix. If you have Netflix, guys, you can go stream all the Monster Quest episodes in order or in any order you like. So that's pretty cool. And, you know, I believe Bigfoot Lives is going to be on Netflix again, too. I was just talking to Pop about something to do with that. We'll let him announce it. But it's there now, and I think it's going to stay there. Let's just put it that way.
You know, Alex, one thing I wanted to mention about this, the incident that Don had. Don, you know, you said that it was a wolf-looking face. And, you know, in Wisconsin, because that's not very far away from there, Wisconsin, they have what they call the Beast of Bray Road. We also, in Canada, there's a couple of incidents where people, actually, one of the guys up there, he can't speak English, he speaks French-Canadian, and he had a picture that he took by accident of one, and it had a wolf face on it. That's on the Internet. And then we've had a couple of reports down south, West Virginia and other places, where they've had sightings of a Bigfoot with a dog or wolf face, as well as a couple of incidents a couple of years ago up in the same area where the Beast of Bray Road was, where a DNR worker had one come up in the back of his truck. And he was on Monster Quest, I believe, also.
That was Raven's episode. Didn't it try to pick a deer up that the man had picked up?
Well, it picked a deer up, and it also picked his steel stepping steps that goes to the back of the truck and took off with it. And he came back a couple days later, and it was way the heck off somewhere else. He found the step. But because he had a contract with DNR, he could not go public too much with it and make too much of a ruckus with it, but it was on national news. So, I mean, there's several incidences where people have had lots of sightings, I mean, of a dog-faced Bigfoot. And only a couple of years ago, that was the first time in our lives, when we were up in Wisconsin, that we even noticed that there was such a thing. We didn't realize there was such a thing. And, in fact, Linda Godfrey is an author that has investigated for like 16, 17 years. And she's written up all of the encounters and things in that area where they call it the Beast of Bray Road. And she's fairly well known for her stories, for her book, and her writings on it. She's a pretty significant author of that legend.
A little tidbit of information about Linda and about Raven, who I mentioned a minute ago. Raven, friend of mine, I've hosted the show that she does on Thursday nights with her before, and I was a guest on it. And she had her and Ken Gerhardt interviewed me when I was a guest on the show. Tomorrow night, we don't usually plug other shows, Marco, but this one's so pertinent to what you just spoke of. Tomorrow night, Raven's guest is going to be Linda Godfrey. Raven, I believe, was on the Monster Quest episode, Dawn, about the Beast of Road, who Linda also was on, I believe. And tomorrow, that's going to be Raven's guest. So it's Apex Radio, Exploring All Realms. Raven does the show normally with Nick Redfern. I'm not sure if he's going to be there tomorrow. He's pretty busy lately, I believe, doing a TV show and a book and some stuff like that. But, Marco, that's pretty interesting continuation for the listeners. Tomorrow night, they can listen to that show and get right into Linda Godfrey, then maybe come into our archives, listen to the Beast of Bray Road show that you have.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, Linda's a Facebook friend of mine, so I can give her a call, and we can have her on the show sometime, too, if you want.
I think that would be a great idea. I was going to suggest
that. We've had her on a couple of times. I mean, we've had her about 3 years ago. We had her on a couple of times. But it's significant. The thing that I wanted to make a point on, though, Don, was, you know, a lot of people, you know, say this thing had a wolf face or a dog face.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, there have been many sightings where they've had very similar, and in different parts of the country, too. We used to think it was only in Wisconsin, but in Canada, and now in the last year or so, several down in the southern states. And so that's that's something else. I mean, it's not our normal, you know, not the normal description that people give for a creature. And, you know, normally, so that's pretty neat. I like that. That's pretty neat.
I've got an interesting story here from, it came from Red Lake, Minnesota, and I'm wondering if anybody else has heard of anything. There was two police officers saw a Bigfoot standing on that side. As they were riding down the road, they saw it standing in the middle of the road. So they pull up close to it, and they get out, and they looking at this Bigfoot, and they start talking to it, and it wasn't answering back or nothing, so they started talking to it in the Ojibwe, and it still wasn't answering back, and it was getting, like, walking towards them, so they shot at it, and it turned and ran back into the woods. So they walk over, and then they saw this liquid. It was green blood. Now, has anybody ever heard any of these stories like that?
No, every single time, you know, the thing is, I 2 years ago, I would never believe a dog-faced Bigfoot, but now that I've heard it about seven or eight times, you see, all these people can't be, you know, crazy. And so you got to keep an open mind about everything and take a look at the evidence and other things that are brought up on it. And I don't think there's anything out there that can't be, you know, that can't be new or brought in.
Yeah, I've got another story. A lady called me from Lakeville. Actually, I got the pictures. It was Lakeville, Minnesota. This is like in the suburbs. And this happened to her twice. And this was just actually about a month and a half, 2 months ago. She heard something during the middle of the night. She could hear something like scratching on the wall. Then she heard some like pebbles thrown on the back of her bedroom window. So anyway, next morning she gets up and she looks outside, and here she saw these huge tracks in her backyard walking across. So I asked her, could you please take a picture and send them to me and go out there and look at them? And I said, and tell me how big they are. She said, the strides were about 5 feet from south, and the tracks were staggered. So I said, well, could you follow the tracks? And I said, tracks came up your wall to her bedroom, right below her bedroom. And they walked across, and I said, can you follow them? So she followed them in the snow. It was about 6 or 12 inches of snow. So she followed them, and they just ended nowhere, thin air. So I said, well, follow back in the other direction. So she followed them back the other direction. And they just, like, came out of thin air.
Wow. Well, I've heard that before. I mean, there's been stories about that. Amazing. Well, Don, by golly, I'm glad you came on. It's been a long time, and it's such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
If you don't mind,
we're
going to keep in touch with you. And
from time to time,
when things come up, give me a call, or I'll give you a call and check to see how things are going. But, my gosh, come on and share. You have a website. You guys have a website out there. What's your website? Could you give that to our listeners? I'll post it up there.
All right. We don't have a website yet.
Oh, okay.
We're due to funding and stuff like that.
We'll post your link up there.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I'm trying to work on one right now. So once I get it finished, I'll let you know.
Sure enough. And say hi to everybody up there.
I will.
Your brother, your cousin Art, my brother-in-law.
Yeah. Don't tell him you said.
Yeah. Well, my father had his birthday here in February. He's 87 years old, so they had a big party over there, so I got a chance to see every... I wasn't there, but I got a chance to see all the pictures. So, thank you so much, Don, for coming on. If you want, you can still stay on and listen to the rest of the show. We got Don coming up here next. And thank you for coming on. Hit star six.
Okay.
And you can listen on the phone, and then we'll go on. You know, Alex, I got to go to a break. I didn't take our little a little break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to Dave Ortiz.
Excellent, excellent.
Okay, here we go, my friends. Little Bigfoot Live. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were in the war.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our latest release of Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and it is superb. I watched it here last week, and if you really, I tell you what, there's so many stories that are going around, so much fabrication and lies, and so many people saying things that they don't even know about what happened back in August 15th of 2008. And I was there. I know what happened. I was very close to Tom and all the other team members when all this took place. And this movie is a videographed episode of everything that happened. And when you see this movie, you will see every single thing that happened on it. You'll know what the real truth is. And you know, it's going to dispel all of these guys with their websites. I ain't going to say anything. I don't believe in that. But most people know who they are. But their websites, they're the only thing they have left to do on their shows and everything else is to ridicule other people, including Tom and the team. And so, you know, if that's all you have to do in life, you don't have very much to do. However,
Marco.
Yeah.
You know, there was only, I've seen the movie a couple of times, myself, and many times, and here's a little tidbit of info that maybe will whet the appetite of the listeners. There's only one person in that movie that was in contact with the dynamic duo from Georgia.
Yeah.
After that, you know, I won't say who it is. I don't know how it relates to what's going on, but it's very curious and interesting to me that only one person in that whole movie was in contact with those guys after the movie and after the incident. And, you know, not sure why, but I guess there's photos of that, you know. He may have been investigating, but... Sure looked like he was having a lot of fun in the photos I saw.
He has a website dedicated and a website and a radio show dedicated to defaming people, so I don't pay too much attention to it. But anyway, folks, if you haven't seen it, and Jan, if you're out there, it's going to get to you here. I promise we'll have it to you so you can take a look. A lot of questions. A lot of people are still out there making fabrications and stories about what happened, and of course, they involved Tom in it. There's no earthly way that Tom would have been directly involved in any of that, neither any of the team members, because we were the ones that were hoaxed. But anyway, let's get on with it. Hey, Dave O, now not too long ago, Dave Ortiz from Four Corners, New Mexico. Dave, are you there, my friend? Hit your star 7 button, my friend.
Here, Marco.
How are you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great.
You know,
you're doing well.
I'm doing great. You know, a few weeks ago, a guy by the name of Marcus Bekus sent me 3 o'clock in the morning an email about his brother having an encounter up there in Kirtland, outside of Kirtland.
That's right.
And you, within probably hours after getting the email, I called Alex. Alex called you. And within a half an hour of Alex calling you, you were down there on the site with those guys. And you did an absolutely phenomenal job of recording. There's both a video and a web page up there with all the pictures and stuff that you guys took. But I just thought a little bit of follow-up on that, plus what else is going on in the in the area there. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing really good. And, I haven't had a chance to get to them. I guess their telecommunications have been out. They haven't had any email, and getting them through the phone has been really spotty. But I've heard a few reports from other people saying that there's been activity, you know, nearby in that area, too, which we're going to follow up on very shortly. And It's been about 3 weeks since I saw Marcus. I actually called him today. So actually, I think we're going to do a stakeout at night in that area. And if we don't get any luck over there, we're going to start moving toward the river bottoms, the San Juan River, which has been actually having very frequent activity. So and actually, I've been talking to Father Ray, who lives here in town too, and he's really really up to checking me out when he has the time. He's a very busy man, but we're going to utilize some of his time, and he'll get out there and hang out with us, too.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. And go ahead, Marco.
Well, I was just going to ask you, you know, what kind of events have taken place over there where you're at?
Yeah. Well, to start off, we live in a valley where three rivers meet, the San Juan River, the Animas, then all these rivers come from Colorado, and the La Plata Creek comes about 60 miles to the north of Farmington, up in La Plata Mountains.
Why don't you also tell them, Dave, why do they call it, we said Four Corners, New Mexico, and why do they call it Four Corners?
Because you have four states. It's the only place in America where the states of Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico meet. There's actually I'm not sure if it's a national monument, but there is a monument there where you can actually stretch your body through all four states and have somebody take a picture of you.
See, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I didn't know that until I looked it up, but I always wanted Four Corners. How do they ever name it that? But it's pretty interesting. And,
And it seems to there seems to be a correlation with these river bottom areas and Bigfoot activity. We believe that they travel these river bottoms and some of the dry creeks that eventually head up to Colorado. We think there may be a migration pattern that is forming or has formed already. And we're just investigating, you know, we're looking for tracks, looking for evidence. We've seen all kinds of stuff, you know, the tree formations, definitely footprints on occasion. And say like over 3 weeks ago over at Marcus Bekus's area, I took pictures of those impressions.
Right.
And I wish it would have been a lot wetter during that time, but it was very dry. And unfortunately, we couldn't get any toe prints or anything to make any casts. But with 18 to 19 inch tracks and 4 foot strides, it was pretty obvious that we're dealing with a Bigfoot in the area.
Yeah.
And this area called Kirtland, where we found the footprints and the evidence and the story related with it, it's kind of a rural town. It's not an incorporated town with a mayor or anything, but it's just a what would you call it, a township or a
a township or a
It has businesses and homes and stuff within the area. And actually, where we found these tracks was in a mobile home area, just across this little valley that we were in. There's actually a mobile home park where people actually witnessed stuff in this canyon that we were in. And I got a few stories out of that.
the thing that Preston was talking about, the guy named Preston. That was there with you?
Yeah, Preston, yes. Yeah, it was kind of funny when he first saw us, he actually looked very frightened. You know, we were approaching him, and I said, can we help you? And he was just stone stone cold fear, you know. And I said, hey, we're not going to hurt you. I think you thought we were a gang or something.
Right.
But we calmed him down real quick. And then when I felt he was comfortable, I asked him, well, Preston, do you ever see any weird things around here? And then his eyes got big and just his voice got loud. And he says, all the time. He says, I see apparitions. He says, human forms at night. He says, it's really dark, but I can actually see movement down in this little canyon below my house. And he says, a strange thing is that they have a mobile, it's like an old storage for old mobile homes, you know, and after they get sold, there's probably, I'd have to say, at least 60, 70 trailers packed into in this little valley. And he says that he can see a bonfire right in the middle of this trailer area. And we actually walked to this spot. He says it's a big bonfire set among some old trees. He says he sees this at regular times, that he can see the reflection of fire on the trailer. Well, we went to investigate it. There was nothing. And we didn't disbelieve him at all, but we think there's probably paranormal type of activity going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said he sees white bipedal forms walking through there. And he says, but Dave, he says, these forms aren't on the ground. He says, they're walking 2 or 3 foot off, you know, or moving 2 or 3 feet off the ground. I said, oh, okay. Getting
wow.
into another subject here. You know?
Well, no. Yeah, well, we've had a couple of guests on in the last few months that have had similar experiences. One guy in New York had been called down to an old lady, you know, an old man and an old lady that lived down the road from him in a trailer house. And he went down there, and they were complaining about all the noise, and they had these screams and stuff. And he went down there, and they actually seen two creatures coming out of the swamp.
Oh.
And they came out of the swamp screaming and hollering, and one creature was leaning against the house like he was hurt. Well, the very next weekend, when he was in his backyard, he went out in the backyard, and it was a full moon. And he said he turned around, and all of a sudden it got dark. And he looked around, and he looked up, and there was no moon. And it was just like the moon gone. And all of a sudden, there was, like, he seen these apparitions, you know, of bodies above the ground. And so, I mean, and he went back down to the house again, and the... you know, so there was all kinds of things that taking place, and he said he never in his life even imagined anything like that could exist. But that's what he saw, and and so I mean, strange things happen.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah,
JC and Davo actually have some similar stories to that happen in their area. And I believe may not be available yet, or it is on their website.
Well, that's why I mentioned this one. I didn't, because there's things that are not available right now.
They've filmed apparitions floating across some of the ranches there. So they have some of that. Right. And also to set up this area for our listeners, we were right near there. In November, right, Davo? I mean, we were in Fruitland, which is adjacent to Kirtland.
Yeah, it is. And we were just across the river. They call it actually Upper Fruitland. Same area. Yeah, just separated by water.
He's been to this area, and I know he wants to go back to meet Marcus.
Well, gosh, I'll tell you, Dave, if you when you get out there, if you get a hold of Marcus... If you don't mind, I'll keep in touch with you, and we'll keep things going. And if anything happens, I'll give you a call, or you can give me a call, and we'll have you on the show, and we can go through it. In the same token, we really appreciate you taking the lead and going down there and taking care of this for us. I mean, people just can't believe the response time that took place here, and because of it, we got a lot of good information from you. A video, interview, all that stuff. It was just absolutely magnificent. It was really nice. I mean, I appreciate all of your efforts, Dave, in doing this for us and taking your time to do that. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Marco Bill.
And, I'll tell you what, we've got another one. We've got Mitch coming on here. If you could hit your *6 button, you can listen to the last 10 minutes of the show here, 6, 7, 8 minutes, whatever it is.
All right.
And I'll keep in touch with you, Dave. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Marco.
Well, Alex, Yeah.
Hey, how about a quick shout out to one of Tom's friends that just jumped in the chat room?
Absolutely.
We got Pete from winby5.com. He's in the chat room just listening to the show and chatting with the listeners, and he said to say hello to Tom, and he didn't say to give him a shout out, but I figured I would.
Oh, absolutely. And Tom will be back next week. He told me to tell everybody that that he misses everybody, and if he's not here, he's here by spirit. Well, Alex, let's go to Mitch. Mitch, hit your all-star 7 button, my friend.
Okay, I'm here.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing a lot better now that I'm getting ready to go home.
How's it? My gosh, you go from worse bad weather to worse weather. I think when you went to Utah, what'd you get, 3 inches of snow? And
yeah, it's been it's really getting on a lot up here.
Yeah. Well, how are things going, Mitch?
Well, I'll be headed home in about 2 days, and I've already got a couple of trips lined up to go into the mountains, and I'm twisting Alex's arm to go with. And we're going to be going back up into the area where this last time we had something snort at us, and because we ended up ruining a hunt, Alex was telling us about it last week. And so we're going to go back up in that area and check it over again. I've also got some infrared photography that I'm going to attempt. I'm going to be mounting my infrared assembly in the back of my truck, and we're going to be going deep into the hot zone looking for anything that might be out there in the forest near the road. So we got some interesting things.
You're going to give me a clip of that cat we got on the surveillance cam the last time so I can see if I'm right. It's a jacaranda.
Well, I think you might be right. As soon as I get back, I'll cut that off the DVD into a WMV format so that I can ship it to you. I'm just stuck up here with my laptop, and it doesn't have the software to do that.
Cool.
Well, Mitch, let me ask you a question. Now, you've got when you get back there, you're going to be having a lot of activity going on. So when you come on the next time, you're going to have all kinds of stuff to tell us about. But one thing I wanted to do, you've been doing books, you've been doing some videos. How about giving us a good spiel on all the things that are available on Amazon.com? What's out there that you and your wife have put out, and all your research and other things that you've done?
Okay, I've been trying to utilize my time up here well, so I've been republishing a lot of the books that went out of print many years ago, and one of the books that just hit the market was The Mogollon Monster, Arizona's Bigfoot, by my wife, Susan Farnsworth. You can get that at Amazon.com. That's basically campfire stories that are told by the local Arizona people on the Mogollon Rim. I'm just finishing up the sequel to that, which is more Mogollon Monster, and I'm hoping to have that out in a couple of weeks. And that's going to be a two-part book. First half will be her stories, and the second half will be my research to back it up. And I've also completed a novel, Blood Gold in the Superstition Mountains, which is an action-adventure story about the Lost Isthmus gold mine during modern times. Then I just finished the sequel to that, which is The Return. And then I finished a documentary on the Lost Isthmus gold mine called The Continuing Search for the Lost Isthmus gold mine.
So, hey, Mitch,
I've been kind of busy. Yeah.
Hey, Mitch, you have a bunch of books, too, on how to go about mining in the Superstition and such?
Yes. I have a book called gold panning equipment, build your own. It talks about how to build your own sluice box, high bankers, rockers, that kind of stuff to pull the gold out of the mountains. I have
and
another book.
Go ahead.
Say again.
Well, I was going to say, and to be clear, we recommend doing that stuff probably in the winter, not in the summer, in the Superstition.
Yes, there's hardly any water in the Superstitions. You've got to know where it's at. So most of the gold panning extraction, other than a dry washer, is really ineffective. So, you know, you need to probably prospect up in the north area around Prescott and Lynch Creek and so forth during the summer, and then in the winter you hit the Superstitions.
And you can learn exactly how to do this with your books and then read some stories that you put together. So it's pretty spectacular.
Right.
Well, by God, I tell you what, Mitch here, just an absolute wonder at everything. I'm going to tell you, you do so many things, and it's always a pleasure to have you on here. I'm looking forward to have you on next week and learn some more of what some of the things you've been doing. You should be getting some probably a chance to do some delving into some of the videos and other things that you and Alex had been looking at. And so some results and stuff will be coming back too.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for coming on the show again, as
all
always.
Right.
Alex, it's time to say so long to everybody. Why don't you give us the Bigfoot call to good night?
I will do that. And, you know, quick to Dawn. Dawn, if you don't have a website, we can start a section for you at the AZCRO forum where we all discuss our stuff, Jan Allen, Mitch, myself. For everybody else out there, keep Bigfooting.
Good night, everybody, and next week, Tom will be back.
Kudos and salutations.
Ivan was a no-fair tracker. Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for the fact.